because we got the alternative energy. Right. On nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. I'm Michaela. This year, 3CR is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting, and the station has been covering nuclear issues in depth from the very beginning. To celebrate this anniversary, the Radioactive Show is digging into our archives and bringing you some of the wonderful productions from past years. As we approach the 80th anniversary from the first of the 300 nuclear explosions conducted in the Pacific, today's program was originally broadcast in 2006 and was produced by Bilbo and Emily and features a collaboration with longtime 3CR broadcaster Nancy Atkin, and they're marking the 40th anniversary of French nuclear testing in the Pacific.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show. Produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Broadcast Network.
This program was a program which was produced by Nancy Atkins and Emily Johnson, my co-host on the show. And Nancy Atkins produced a show, a radio documentary around the 40th anniversary of the French nuclear bomb testing in Tahiti. It's a really great story, and sit back and listen.
On this week's show, we will be listening to Nancy Atkin. She is a long-term member of the Nuclear Free and Independent Pacific Campaign. She has lived and worked in the Pacific. This year, she decided to go to the 40th anniversary of the French atomic testing in Tahiti. She dusted off her radio production skills and took her microphone to produce this program. Nancy has produced many broadcasts for 3CR, including live broadcasts from Honeymoon in 1980, Broxby Downs and Pine Gap in 1987, and also the Franklin Dam in 1981. So stay tuned to the Radioactive Show for this very special program produced by Nancy Atkin.
It's now 40 years since France began testing nuclear weapons in their Pacific colony of French Polynesia. On the 2nd of July 1966, the first of 193 French atomic weapons was exploded at Mururoa Atoll. The Pacific had already been used as a testing ground by the United States and the British, but the French tests would continue at Mururoa and Whangataufa for 30 years, till they were finally halted after massive international protests in 1996. I'm Nancy Atkin, and I was fortunate to attend the events marking the anniversary in Tahiti in early July. The local association of former test site workers, Mururoa et Tato, or Mururoa and Us, hosted a seminar where former workers and their families were joined by French nuclear veterans, among them widows whose husbands had died from radiation-related illnesses. French Polynesia's local assembly recently completed an inquiry into the effects of nuclear testing and supported the seminar. Local parliamentarians welcomed participants, including politicians from France, New Zealand and Australia. Among them was Victorian Democrat Senator Lynn Allison.
I think it's very important that this anniversary was commemorated in this way, because here is the one major issue which hasn't been resolved. So the French testing has ceased of nuclear weapons after a very long time of testing in Algeria, in French Polynesia. And so it's good to commemorate that fact, but it's necessary now to look at the matter of what happens to Polynesia, what happens to those involved as workers, those involved as veterans, those people who are affected by virtue of eating the fish, being close to Mururoa and the other sites, the question of cleaning up those sites. We don't know whether they're still leaking radioactive material into the waters or not. There's a suggestion that the reef is cracked as a result of multiple underground explosions. That hasn't been tested, or at least if it has, it's been kept secret. So I think this was important from that point of view, but it was also very important to both have an international focus here in Tahiti and to have parliamentarians in some numbers involved for the very first time. And that means that finally the parliaments around the world, particularly in France, are listening. And I think there's great optimism about them doing something so that we will resolve those issues.
Lynn Allison is chair of the Paris Network Against Nuclear Testing, linking groups concerned about the effects of the tests. This seminar was the third time the network had met since it was set up in 2002. The Tahiti seminar included forums for local and international scientists, politicians and campaigners. We heard from a representative of Fiji veterans of British nuclear tests and from a now elderly survivor of the Nagasaki atomic bomb, as well as from many local survivors. I asked Lynn Allison whether the countries involved in testing were using the same strategies to prevent access to information, like the names of those who had worked at the test sites.
Yes, absolutely true in Australia as it was in France. And I think that first meeting in Paris was a shock to a lot of people because they all thought they were fighting their government on their own. They didn't understand that in France, in the United States, in the UK, each government was doing the same thing. The records, the hospital records, had either disappeared or they were to be held and not released to anyone. The military records of their exposure were not available. The very slack approach to dosimetry badges. These are the badges that measure the exposure. We heard about them being tossed in a bucket at the end of the day. We heard about people not wearing them. We heard about people being exposed in thongs and T-shirts, and whereas the British scientists were decked out in a lot of protective gear. And I suppose the most shocking thing of all was that we now know that people were sent there in their thousands, and they had no job to do other than to be exposed by the tests. And that's the most shocking reality of all. And that's as true here in Polynesia as it was in Algeria and in Australia. So somewhere there is a record of the effect that it had on servicemen and participants that we're not being told about. So that record is so shocking that clearly governments are not prepared to release it, and they haven't been for, in some cases, 50 years.
The scientific panel from Australia, New Zealand and France reported advances in documenting the health effects of radiation from nuclear tests on their citizens. Dr. Al Rowland is an expert in chromosomes, a cytogeneticist from Massey University in New Zealand. We asked him to tell us about his work with former New Zealand sailors sent to the British nuclear test at Christmas Island, now part of the Pacific nation of Kiribati.
If someone has been subjected to radiation exposure, the two things that can affect them in the long term, one is the eyes and the other is the DNA. And I'm looking at New Zealand nuclear test veterans who took part in Operation Grapple, which were the British atomic bomb tests in Christmas Island, 1957-58. And they came to me 4 years ago, and they wanted to know whether or not I could detect any genetic damage that might have occurred in them nearly 50 years ago. It was a big ask, but I decided to give it a go. So I've been looking at their DNA, their chromosomes, and there are various genetic tests that you can do. But in summary, what we have found is evidence of damage to the DNA. The effect size is weak. What I mean by that is that although we have found evidence of genetic damage, it's only a small amount of their total life experiences. Perhaps less than 10% of all the damage that could have been caused in their bodies can be attributed to exposure to radiation. Nevertheless, what we have found is significant.
Has these advances in techniques where we can now look at the chromosomes added some major evidence to our understanding of the effects of radiation?
Yes, it has. The latest technology allows us to not only determine whether or not someone has received genetic damage from radiation, but also to make a measured estimate at the amount of radiation they received, even 50 years ago.
Which is important given that other evidence we heard this morning was that the people who did the tests at the time didn't keep any of these records.
No, they didn't. It is very difficult to obtain any information from any of the authorities on what the exposure rates were. But from anecdotal evidence provided to me by the New Zealand nuclear test veterans, it wasn't just so much radiation they received from the bomb blast. That may even have amounted to a small fraction of the radiation that they may have received post the explosion, because in the case of the New Zealand boats, immediately after the explosion, the boats were turned around and they sailed through ground zero. And they did that on every one of the bomb tests. And in fact, they even got within, were placed within 20 nautical miles of ground zero to witness the bomb test. Now, when they went through ground zero, often it rained. And so, being the tropics, they'd take off their T-shirts and have a shower and it would cool down, etc. So the New Zealand nuclear test veterans always claim that any effects they've had arise as a consequence of their duties in taking part in Operation Grapple. So it's not just that the day and the time that the bomb went off, but everything subsequently. They swam in the lagoon and they ate the fish. So these are the things that occur.
Massey University's Dr. Al Rowland. Watch out later this year for results from a different round of his tests, which could be even more interesting. Sunday the 2nd of July was the actual 40th anniversary of the first French atomic test in the Pacific. President Oscar Temeru unveiled a memorial to the tests, with five stones representing the five archipelagos of French Polynesia. President Temeru, elected 2 years ago, heads a pro-independence party that has opposed the testing. The memorial, with a plaque in Tahitian French and English, is set in gardens overlooking Papeete Harbour, and the songs, chants and percussion you are hearing today were performed by a band and a choir at the ceremony. Maori activist Hilda Haukiad Harawira performed a traditional Maori waiata. We spoke to Hilda Haukiad Harawira after the ceremony.
Today we're celebrating commemorating the 40th anniversary since the first nuclear test. And for me it's sad that despite having passed 40 years, the French government has not taken responsibility for the tests and the results of those tests, especially with the nuclear victims and their families. I suppose this is a very momentous occasion, and I have to say it can only have happened under Oscar Temeru, under his new parliament, because, I mean, it's true, he's only been in power about 1 year, and, you know, others have been here for 39 years, so why hasn't this kind of thing been happening? For many years they've asked for an independent health survey because all of this health statistics or the assurances that everything is safe have come from the French government, French paid citizens and military personnel. So the outcome of this conference is really knocking on France's door and saying, no, we're not going to go away. And the fact that they had scientists here, I mean, their kind of corridor is pretty boring to me, really. It's very technical and thing. I didn't understand what they're saying. But it was when I was talking to one of the Fijian veterans that I realised how really important it is for them, because without proof that the tests actually are responsible for their illness, they won't get compensation, and there is no money that will ever compensate for the loss of lives. But, you know, the fact is that it does help widows and their children to survive. And I met a woman who, at the airport the other night, and she said she was so angry, you know, and so many of the Tahitians that have come in have been so angry. Even for them, the conference doesn't really wrap up in a nutshell how they feel. They want justice. They want someone to say sorry, you know. They want someone to admit that their family are orphaned. The family of 8 or 9 children are orphaned by the nuclear test. They've never, ever been told sorry.
Kara Ong from the Center for Arms Control and Non-Proliferation in Washington, D.C., has supported Marshall Islanders in their struggle for just compensation for the United States nuclear testing in their country from 1946 to 1958. Kara agrees that the situation in French Polynesia is even worse than in the Marshalls.
the United States at least has taken some responsibility in the case of the Marshallese. And there are a number of cancers that are recognized by the U.S. as having a link directly to nuclear weapons testing. And the United States has provided some compensation for land, some environmental cleanup, and some sort of health care, at least, for the people of the Marshall Islands, whereas France refuses to acknowledge or take responsibility for what it's done. It's actually a quite dire situation here because they have absolutely no recognition. And one of the things that I suggested yesterday was that the workers and the Association of Mauroa Etatu consider taking their case to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, where evidence could be entered in basically citing what the United States has done for the Marshallese.
Dominique Voynet is a Green senator in France and was Minister for Environment under a previous government. She is a long-term supporter of the Mururoa workers and sympathises with their concerns.
It's difficult now to hear them because they have suffered a lot. They feel they are getting old and they can't say the French state has recognised that he did wrong and that he has to repair what he did. And so they don't want to hear more words. They want decisions now.
France has elections next year, and many people hope that a coalition including socialist and green parties may bring some justice to the former Mururoa workers, who include French military and civilians, as well as many Polynesians. Dominique Voynet explained why, when minister in a previous left of centre coalition, she had been unable to get more information released.
Well, it has been rather difficult because at the time I was a member of a leftist government and we had to work with the president, right-wing, Jacques Chirac, who was very close to the president of Polynesia, Gaston Floss. He was his close friends and many of us think that they were so close not only because of personal friendship but also because of money links between them. And it was quite clear that it was impossible for us to intervene in this very special link.
So if a left of centre coalition is elected again in the elections that are coming up in France in 2007...
It will be new. I think it will be different because the president of Polynesia is now Oscar Temaro and because the president won't be a right-oriented president. And he won't have to defend the work of Chirac and General de Gaulle during the 60s and even in 1995.
So you're hopeful and, you might get some good results?
Well, I hope for it, but I'm not sure, because I know that the Socialist Party in France is in favour of nuclear defence, but they could accept to say it was the past and we have to bring truth and justice in Polynesia. I'm not sure. I hope so.
Senator Dominique Voynet, one of two French senators at the seminar. Australia was represented by Lynn Allison from the Democrats and by Labour's Bob Zirkham, and they were joined by New Zealand's chair of the Parliamentary Network for Nuclear Disarmament, National Party member Dr. Nick Smith. He explains that in Aotearoa, New Zealand, there's nothing new about conservative politicians taking a strong stand on nuclear disarmament.
New Zealand has long had a strongly bipartisan anti-nuclear view, and the common perception in New Zealand is that the aftermath of nuclear testing, the issue for both the veterans and citizens of countries like French Polynesia, is the unfinished business that needs to be fixed up. It's an issue in New Zealand where there's been a pretty strong common view across the parties, whether it be the issue of French nuclear testing in the Pacific, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the Rainbow Warrior bombing, all the way through to today. There is a strong consensual position across all the parties in the Parliament that nuclear weapons and nuclear testing is something of which New Zealand wishes to strongly advocate against. And furthermore, there needs to be a just resolution for the victims of that testing, principally the citizens of the nation states in the Pacific where the testing took place, but also for the veterans in countries like France, like Britain, like New Zealand and Australia. One of the key things that we think Southern Hemisphere countries should be pursuing is a nuclear weapon-free Southern Hemisphere. We have a nuclear weapon-free zone in the Pacific with New Zealand and South America and South Africa, And one of our ambitions this decade is to try and stitch together those nuclear weapon-free zones and ultimately to push the nuclear states to respect the Southern Hemisphere as being nuclear weapons-free.
Nationals MP Dr Nick Smith from New Zealand, a country with a clear position on nuclear weapons. President Oscar Temeru greeted the international guests after unveiling the memorial to French atomic testing.
When we see what is happening throughout the world, how many billions of dollars have been spent in Iraq, in all those countries. For the scientists, it's very hard to find out money to make some research about cancer, HIV, and all that. Throughout the world, in Africa, people are dying of hunger everywhere. No money. They have a lot of money for the weapons. So that is my wish. Maybe the whole world will be better. It will be a better place to live. Welcome to Tahiti to all of you from the Pacific.
Words of the President of French Polynesia, Oscar Temeru, himself a former Mururoa worker, bring to an end this program where we spoke to some of the international parliamentarians, scientists and campaigners invited to Tahiti on the 40th anniversary of French atomic testing in the Pacific. I'm Nancy Atkin, thanks for joining me.
You're listening to the Radioactive Show, and that was a program produced by Nancy Atkin, who went to the 40th anniversary of the French atomic testing in Tahiti this July. She's a long-term member of the Nuclear Free and Independent Pacific Campaign and is also a long-time listener and participator of 3CR. Stay with us now while we go to a track from One Night Under the Moon. You're listening to the Radioactive Show.
Listen to the Radioactive Show. That was a really well-produced show, I thought. It was a report from Nancy Atkins, who went to the 40th anniversary conference in Tahiti of the French atomic bomb testing at Mururoa Atoll near Tahiti in the Pacific. Pretty interesting story, and a very, very similar story to that which has happened in Australia through Maralinga and all around the world. A story of graft and corruption and denial. It's a very similar story too for the Polynesian people who were employed by the French to work at the test site. They had very little information about what was going on there and were basically subjected to conditions which are going to calculate their death and possibly the death of their children through, you know, prolonged cancers and intergenerational illness. It's a very similar story to those people who served in the Australian Armed Forces, Air Force and Navy, who were subjected to those same conditions as part of the Maralinga bomb testing.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Radioactive Show. We just heard there the voice of Bilbo and another past Radioactive Show presenter, Emily, alongside a special guest producer, Nancy Atkin. And that was a broadcast that marked the 40th anniversary of French nuclear testing in the Pacific. And we're fast approaching the 1st of July that marks 80 years on from the first of around 300 nuclear explosions that have been imposed on the Pacific. And to mark this occasion, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons is organizing a Pacific Peace Pilgrimage. This pilgrimage will shine a light on the history and intergenerational impacts of nuclear testing in the Pacific region, including here in so-called Australia. ICAN, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, is working with the Quakers and the Pacific Conference of Churches to welcome nuclear impacted communities from the Pacific and from this continent for a series of events that will highlight pathways towards nuclear justice in the region and call for a future that is decolonized, demilitarized, denuclearized, and decarbonized. So you can join in these commemorations of these very significant anniversaries. They start on the 1st of July with a morning vigil on Parliament lawns on Ngunnawal and Ngambri country, so-called Canberra. On July 2nd, there is a candlelight vigil at the Quaker Centre, also on Ngunnawal and Ngambri country in Canberra. And after that, on July the 3rd, there will be candlelight vigils at the Newtown Neighbourhood Centre on Gadigal country, so-called Sydney, and at Ballumbellum Place on Kulin Lands, so-called Melbourne. And you can find all the details at icanw.org.au/Pacific-Peace-Pilgrimage. And we'll provide links in the show notes with the podcast of this program, which can be found on our webpage, 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne for the ongoing support for this program. And thanks to the Community Radio Network for getting this program out to community radio stations right across the continent. Join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues. Remember two great cities in a distant foreign land. We'll scorch from the face of Earth the power of Japan. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.